This is Pauline Jennings, and you're listening to Musician Talk. If you've been out and about listening to live music in and around Northfield and beyond, you have very likely heard Mark Ross perform some time in the last, well, many years. And I'm very happy to say that Mark is my guest today. Mark was born in St. Paul, Minnesota, and is first generation born in the United States. His folks are from Poland. Growing up in the 50s and 60s, rock musicians like Buddy Holly and Ritchie Valens influenced him very early on. A bit later, he discovered hard rock and metal. Mark played in his first band at the age of 14. He wrote and recorded, to cassette, his first original songs with this band. Doesn't seem like he's looked back since. Let's find out more about Mark's musical journey and what he's up to now, including his new recording project. This show, by the way, includes two of his extremely recently recorded original songs. How exciting! It's time to talk with Mark Ross. Hey, Mark. Welcome to Musician Talk.
Hey, Pauline. Thank you.
Nice to have you.
Hey.
And we wouldn't be real Minnesotans if we didn't remark about the weather.
No, it's great. This is like an awesome day.
It is. We all have to get outside, that's for sure. Thank you, Wendy, for setting this up for us. And I just want to dig into your personal musical journey. Start when you first started playing or when you first remember taking lessons, whatever you choose.
Yeah, I think I was like 13, 14 years old, and I had an attic bedroom, and I had a coffee table, and I would stand up on the coffee table and jam some like Guns N' Roses music and have a pool stick that was my microphone. I was like pretending to be singing. So that was my original start to music. But no, then I had started guitar and took a couple of lessons here and there. We started a band with some high school friends, and that's kind of the journey started there, playing a bunch of power chords and kind of a punky metal style, you know.
So. Wow. So you were 12, 13 when you started guitar as well?
Yeah, I think I was 13 when I got the guitar. Yeah.
And you said you took some lessons. A
couple, yeah.
Just a couple. And then you did it by ear, or?
I think a lot of it you just kind of pick up as you play, and once you learn, like, the basics.
Sure.
You know, I kind of get distracted easy, so it's hard to stay on track with lessons. I'm more just, like, do it yourself.
Got it. And were you singing right away when you were playing guitar?
No. I started out as a guitar player only, was my thing, was lead guitar, and then for a long time in the bands that I played with, they would say, Mark, don't sing. You know, you can't sing. So I had to like work my way up, I think, as a vocalist too.
But you can sing. So what was wrong with them? Were they trying to, they didn't want you to sing so they could sing? Or?
I think it was just my style of singing back then. Like I sang in choir when I was like in elementary school. And then I didn't do it in high school or anything. So I think I just was trying too hard to like hit the big Journey notes and Bon Jovi notes back then. So. It just wasn't working for me.
That's a good thing to aim toward, though.
Yeah.
Hitting those big notes, that's always the tough part. So so you played in a band in high school, and then how did things morph from there for you?
I think it just, for high school, it was just a high school band. We wrote a few songs, and that's kind of when I got into songwriting. I've always been kind of poetic, so I have these books and books and books of poems I wrote. So I guess I come from kind of the Jim Morrison type of a songwriter where it's poems first, and then what I would do is hand those poems off to the lead singer that we'd hire for the band at the time, and then he would make melodies out of them and stuff. But so I always wrote words, and then I just evolved from there to gradually recording at Pachyderm with a band called Rainmaker back in the 90s. From there we did some Midwest regional playing between here and North Dakota and Wisconsin, and just kind of played around the region for a while.
And that band was called Rainmaker?
Yeah.
And how long did they play?
We were together for a couple, 2 years, I think.
Okay.
Or so. But, yeah, it was a little more indie, alternative rock with that band. But it was fun. We, had a great time playing and recording and yeah.
And what years was that?
That was like 96, 97.
Okay. So where'd you go? What'd you do after that? After that band fell apart or broke up or whatever you did?
Yeah, I invested quite a bit into the studio time there. But
So you recorded an album of music, and then you didn't stay together to go out and play and promote it.
Promote it, yeah. So,
dang it.
I know.
Although sometimes I tell you, maybe that's better because you go out and promote it and then you sell like 100 out of the 1,000
yeah,
that
I know.
You made. And it's just yeah, so
if anybody wants to buy one of those, I still have cases in the basement, I think. So.
And we could throw in one of our CDs right, for free if they buy one of yours. You'd
probably find quite a few local artists that could do that. Right. After that, I just started putting together bands or trying to join bands. But I kind of started to work myself towards singing at that point. So that's kind of when I started doing vocals. And I have VHS tapes of those days of playing with the bands in the late 90s. Just as a vocalist, it was more of a... I had a band called Mark Ross and the Rhythm Junkies, Tragic America. I mean, it was kind of hard rock, classic rock bands, you know, stuff like
that. So it sounds like you ran the bands that you were in mostly.
Yeah, I've always kind of been like the band leader for
things.
Got it. Yeah.
What do you like about that? I mean, I assume that you like it since you keep doing it.
Nothing, but.
Okay, so you don't.
No, I do like it. I guess, so I grew up with a big influence with like Bon Jovi and artists like that and Kiss and stuff, but I've always looked at music as an art and a business. And mm-hmm. I think that somebody needs to lead. I mean, I get democracies, but there's no democracies in music. Somebody has to take the reins and run with it. So
it seems like the bands that, I don't know, I'm sure some people can do it, but that it does work in groups that I've been a part of anyway, to have one or two leaders, co-leaders or a leader, because like you said, it's really hard to decide what you're going to do by committee.
Yep.
You have to have a direction and a song list, and how are you going to do those songs? How are you going to rehearse those songs? Yeah. So you do all that.
Yep.
You produce
yep.
it.
Yep.
Basically.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you run the rehearsals.
Yep. I try to keep those like down to project management too. So, you know, if it's coming, it's from 7, it's like, let's do 2 hours till 9. Let's try to pick a focus. I mean, I've gone as far as Google searching, like how other bands rehearse, just because sure. I'm just curious, like how do other bands run their show? I've worked with some artists that are very like, you know, Gestapo right. on the way that things go. And,
right.
You know, others that are a little more free. I think one thing about me, and I hope, is I've always been lucky enough to have like amazing musicians around me, like great players. And so they kind of, they show up prepared and they come to practice to rehearse, not to learn songs. Right. So.
Oh boy. I could just hug you for that remark. Exactly. Yeah. And it's really important, and they don't even have to be the best musicians, although that really helps. Coming prepared to rehearsal, knowing that rehearsal isn't a time for you to learn your part, it's a time for the band to learn how to play together, right?
Right.
Yep. Right. Okay, can I say that again?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Say that again, bro.
I'm trying to make that clear to every
musicians
new member
out
too.
There. Right. Yeah. So, what projects do you have going now?
Right now, so my current full band project is Mark Ross and the 319. And that 319, as we talked about a little bit here off air, was that's the address to the place that we practice. So that's kind of what we use to come up with that. And I've had, so the band started a couple years ago, actually pre-COVID, we started out and did a recording or started working on some of the first tracks to debut with that. And, with that one, that's actually what we're going to hear today with Ghost. We can talk about that,
okay,
but, fantastic musicians and fantastic players on that one. And then, COVID hit and pretty much replaced the entire band that was pre-COVID with a whole new band after COVID. So,
wow.
But again, I'm lucky. The players I have right now are just fantastic.
So they could pick it up quickly.
Oh,
you didn't lose any much time at
no,
least.
No.
Well, you brought up Ghost, and that's a great little segue here to the first song. Let's talk about Ghost. This is an original written by you. So tell me about it. What's the inception for the song? Where'd you get the idea for the lyrics, which I love?
Yeah.
I'm very interested.
Yeah, thank you. So I picked Ghost. I think you said kind of pick two songs that kind of mean something to me. And Ghost was kind of the song that I wrote that kind of brought me back into writing and playing. I took a big gap when our kids were born to raise kids and not do music. So I took about 7 years off of playing anything and focused on the kids. And then through that time, my wife and I, Vanessa, have just gone through things, obviously. So, we're currently separated, but we're best friends. And
nice.
We cohabitate, and we raise our kids together, and we're just awesome, and she still plays with me. But Ghost is kind of about that. So those lyrics, you know, maybe this time it's for real. There's just a lot of things that go through in relationships and life, and that's kind of where Ghost came from for me, was just letting that out, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting because I wouldn't have thought of that tack for this, for the lyrics. I was thinking more of a personal journey in that, because it hit me, the words hit me about living in with your ghost, or living in what you wished had happened, what you wish would happen, and it's a waste of time, you know. I mean, and so many of us think that it's the thing over the hill is gonna be the next thing, and then we'll do what we want to do.
Right.
So I put a lot into this song with those lyrics. I just totally made it personal. That's great. Yeah. So before we listen to it, why don't you let us know who's playing on it?
Yeah. So Ghosts is my pre-COVID band. So that was I kind of remember. Actually, Bill Wright, William Wright, I don't know if you know Bill, he plays locally here with a few bands once in a while. He played guitar in that one. Mitch Jones on bass. Barry Knudsen was playing drums. So these guys are all from kind of around the area, Cannon Falls, Rosemount. Vanessa does some vocals on that.
And Vanessa?
Ross, yep.
Is your daughter.
No, that's actually my wife.
Your wife.
My separate
okay,
wife.
Thank yeah, you. Yep. Got it.
And then Caroline Priori, who is also local to Northfield, fantastic fiddle player. I told Caroline when I can pay her more than $100, she'll become a violin player. Anything less for fiddle, but she's an amazing artist herself, but she plays fiddle on that. Yeah.
And so, where was this recorded?
We did this one at Little Big Studios in Cannon Falls.
Okay.
And the engineer and producer, or co-producer with me on this, was Brent Sigmuth, who's worked with me back at the Pachyderm days back in 96. So he used to be the engineer for Pachyderm Studios.
Cool. Yeah. Well, did you have any challenges doing this, recording the song, as you recall?
No, except like we listened to it a few times, and sometimes we think, well, we could re-record this someday, just because it was fresh coming back into the studio. We've been out of the studio and out of writing for so long, or I've been out of writing. So just kind of getting it in there and just getting it done. I felt like I just needed to get it done.
Yep.
And so it was more like, let's just get it out there.
Right.
But you know, as a songwriter, you're never 100% happy with your songs.
No, I think as a performer too.
Yeah.
It's like, well, we could re-record that.
Yeah, I know.
Because we could always make it better.
Right.
But,
so
I think it's wonderful the way it is. So let's take a listen to Ghost, written and performed by my guest today, Mark Ross, along with a few choice musician friends of his.
This time truth won't sing. Maybe this time is where it's always been. It's all ghosts, it's all memories. It's all someone that we used to know, something that we used to be. It's all lies, tiny tragedies that leave us on this open road, dancing with our ghosts. Burn like fireflies, then fade into the night. Maybe this time is where we gotta go. Maybe it's just something we both know. It's all ghosts, it's all memories. It's all someone that we used to know, something that we used to be. It's all lies, tiny tragedy, that leave us on this open road, dancing with our ghosts. It's all ghosts, it's all memories. memories of someone that we used to know, something that we used to be. It's all lies, tiny tragedy that leave us on this open road, dancing without hope. Dancing without gold. Dancing without gold.
This is Pauline Jennings, and you're listening to Musician Talk. We just played Ghost, an original tune by my guest, Mark Ross. Mark plays guitar and sings on this tune along with a handful of other talented local musicians. All right, so Dancing with Your Ghost. I love that lyric, and I think it can just apply. I love that the listener can take what they want away from the song. With that line, I didn't say that very well, but you know what I mean. You can interpret that a bunch of different ways, and we all have our ghosts that we have to deal with, and we're always dancing with them, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Fighting them and trying to work out our lives with all the baggage, I guess I was thinking
right.
of.
Yeah.
That's really cool. It's to me, it's a modern country rock. Kind of rock beat with a fiddle.
It is. It's yeah, that's one thing I'm working on, like through songwriting is... We had a great review of the entire EP from an Americana songwriting kind of website that did a really big review on it. And they mentioned, what did they call it? Alt-Americana.
So, Alt-Americana. Yeah, Americana would have been the other word that I would have thought
yeah.
of.
But. So I graduated like in the mid-90s. And so around that era, there was all these bands that I listened to, like, you know, Gin Blossoms to Counting Crows to having that alternative sound. So mm-hmm. Sometimes I try to stay away from that. You know, my friend Joel wanted me to say Jane's Addiction, but yeah, those guys
sure.
too.
Right.
It's just that style of music, you know, that we grew up on. And so I'm trying to like mold myself to a different style, but you always take the past with you. So everything that you grew up on.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, your voice works really, really great with this kind of music.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Works really well. So we've talked a little bit about songwriting process and that you start with the words. You're a poet, and so, which is lovely, a lovely way to start a song. I think that you have that talent. That's really, really handy to have as a songwriter.
Yeah.
What do you do next?
So I've changed over the years. So
okay.
back when I was the only... The lyrical writer for the band, I would do the lyrics first. Now I have probably like 200 recordings between my phone and my computer of different chord progressions and different ideas. So now I go guitar first, and that's kind of where I start. And then I just start making up words and melodies. And then I also have this giant notepad on my phone where there's 2 lines, 4 lines, 8 lines.
Right.
Just depends on what's in my mind at the time, and I try to bring those out. So that's kind of my process right now. You know, I guess I'm just trying to evolve. I think every songwriter is always trying to evolve in some way to get better each time.
You know, yeah, I wrote a song because we were doing an album. I'm not a songwriter, obviously, because it was like that's the only time in my life I've written a song, and I have no compulsion to do it.
Yeah,
and I just love that you have evolved with the way that you're writing your songs and trying to grow from that. How do you decide out of all these recordings, let's say right now you have 200, you know, that you could pick from to record? How do you make those decisions? Do you have a committee that you send songs to? Goes, should we continue with this one?
You know, it's like throwing darts, I guess. I feel like I'll do something and we'll put it together and I'll think, okay, this is great. The lyrics are great. The sound is great. And even record it. And then you might go back and write something new during that process and wish you could do the new one instead of the one you just did. I mean,
right.
it's constantly like a thing, I think, with songwriters.
Right.
So that's kind of, I think I just listened to it, and do I feel like there's a melody? Do I feel like I got a good hook on it?
Got it.
So
okay. Yeah. Well, you've been doing it long enough too. You kind of probably have some kind of internal
it's a
judge
good thing.
Saying, yeah, yeah, saying this one will work. This one will work. And so with this one, how do you decide on the instrumentation for a song when you're going to go into a studio?
Yeah, for that we do. So one thing I've always gone to the studio. We've always prepped the songs a little bit in advance with my band. We try to pre-produce everything a little bit, go through it at home. I've never guided anybody to do things except maybe little tweaks here and there. But otherwise, I write the melody and I write my guitar chords and that part of it. But everybody else is just, they're amazing musicians. So they just do. They have a feel and they're like, do you like this? I'm like, yep.
Yeah. I love that. I love that part of the songwriting process. And it seems like that happens a lot unless you're Prince. And I think that's rare for somebody like Prince, because he would have all the parts in his head and he would say to the drummer, this is what you play. He would say to the bass player, this is what you play. Yeah. I don't think that happens. Usually it's the individual musicians bringing their talent and their ear and their ideas to a melody or to a bunch of chords. And that, what a great collaborative experience that you have.
It's great. Yeah.
And you have buy-in then, right? From everybody in the band.
Oh, totally.
On that new stuff. Yeah.
You know, I work, like, my full-time job is actually, I also do project management, business analyst. That's where I get paid. Because music doesn't pay as well. But, you know, in there, I like delegation. I think that I'm not a micromanager, so it's good to have, like, people just manage themselves and play their parts. So,
yeah. Perfect. Awesome. In the intro, or I mean, in the bio that you sent me, you mentioned that you want to play more in Nashville. So I just want to ask you about that. When have you played there? What are you doing down there? Because, you know, if you had said Duluth, it would have been a whole different question. But when you say Nashville, there's a lot. That's a loaded place, right?
It is.
When it comes to music. So
it is. We were down there 2 weeks ago. My youngest daughter, Ari, who you'll hear here in a little bit, we were looking at Belmont University for her because she wants to do music production and songwriting. But I wanted to go to Nashville to see it because it's the music capital of the country, maybe the world, you know. Right. So, and I know there's New York and California, sure, but
right, and it's not just country music being recorded down there at all anymore, right?
Or played down there. I've heard everything, but I also. And the songwriting talent in Minnesota, I've hosted many singer-songwriter things here, and it's amazing. And down there, it's amazing. But down there, you have the publishing companies and people that you can be heard by a little bit more than you do here. So with both of my daughters graduating this year, I decided I think I'm going to go spend some more time down there. So my plan is to just go back and forth between here and Nashville for like once or twice a month for a week down there, a week up here and stuff like that.
So you can do your job virtually?
Yes, I can.
Great. Okay, so are you going to go down and do solo stuff?
Yeah, I'm going to try. So I've got I've come back from there, made a giant spreadsheet of all the different places. Actually, the next song you heard, or you're going to hear here coming up December, that was mixed down in Nashville by Casey Wozner. So he did the mixing on that one. And so there's a lot of Northfield connections down there. Quite a few players from here that are down in the area. So
I was going to have Casey on for my 50th show. Maybe I'll have him on for my 100th. But he recently won a Grammy, I believe, or at least in the last couple of years. And that is, well, we didn't say Craig's name yet.
Not yet.
His name is mentioned about 90% of shows that I have because he's got his hands in so many things here, particularly with the recording. So before we get to the next song, I just want to talk a little bit to you with you about the importance of music. And I mean, I know it's important to musicians' lives because it's what they do, but I'm just wanting a little bit of a deeper dive into the importance of music in your life, in your children's lives, in your family life, in your relationships with other people, what it's taught you that you can, you know, that morphs into the rest of your life, those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we had our daughters, or even, you know, when they were born, and even to myself, I always thought of the piano or guitar and music as like Prozac. I always like wanted the kids to be like, hey, when you're feeling something, just put some headphones on, listen to a tune, or sit at a piano and just play, because it just gives you like a distraction that you can like just get out and do stuff with. And then through playing music, I've always found that people just bond, you know,
right,
really well together.
I think that that's what I hear the most, is that the way that music has affected your life personally, but also in the culture, is the bonding and the relationships that you make. But I want to get back to the Prozac thing, and because I think that's really important. So what you mean by that is that it releases chemicals in your brain. I assume it releases chemicals in your brain naturally by listening to music, as opposed to taking it from the external, which there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Of course not. Yeah.
Right. But that you get that dopamine or serotonin, whatever it happens to be released, I'm not sure, when you hear music, you play music.
Yeah, I think it's partly that. And then also as a player, or even as a lyrical writer, you're getting stuff out that's in your head. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
That's really big for me.
It's a way to purge all that stuff in your brain. Yeah. And I like that, getting it out as opposed to being distracted by, let's say, TV, which you're not getting out. You're getting it out of your head, or you're just pushing it further down so that you don't have to think about whatever it is, instead of taking it out on the page. That's wonderful. So both your daughters write music?
Not both. Our youngest daughter, Ari, she's always been a fantastic poet. So from a young age, when she wrote poetry, we took pictures of it, and she's very vivid in her wording and stuff, and just beautiful. So she's the one that does the songwriting now, and is on the next song that we're going to hear here. And our other daughter, Kiri, is a very outdoors person, but she has sung some stuff with me at live shows before, and they both have this just amazing vocals and amazing talent. But Kiri's not one that wants to be a songwriter. So.
Well, indeed, I believe that Ari does have an incredible voice. And so let's go ahead and talk about the second song called December. Why don't you tell me about the inception of this song, too?
Yeah, so...
Lyric-wise.
Yep, so this next song was written completely by my daughter, Ari. So
that's great.
She had a project to do for her senior project, and we talked about it a year ago. And I said, why don't you do a songwriting project? And let's take it from conception of writing a song to everything that goes around songwriting and the trade as a business and life, and then actually go to a real studio with real musicians and record the song. And so so the first thing I did is this year we put together an outline on how we're going to do this. And there's a fantastic book out there. And if you haven't read it and you want to songwrite, it's called How to Write One Song.
Nice.
And it's written by Jeff Tweedy from Wilco. And I gave her that book and she fell in love with the book. She hasn't read a book in a long time, but Jeff really gets into personal life of himself. Going through mental health issues and going through addictions and going through things and how music helped him and how he became a songwriter. But the book also has a lot of like tricks and tips for word games and word matters and stuff. Anyway, she read that book, loved it. We worked with the outline, and then she's always been a poet, so she had all these words written down. And finally, I'm like, okay, what song do you want to do? So we sat in our living room, and I'm like, do you want me just to like play some chords, or how do you want to do this? And she's like, well, I kind of have a melody in my head. So she sang through this already. Like, I did nothing. So we recorded her just doing it a cappella like two or three times. And she really had no structure to the song at the time. But I felt like when you say December, when you say this, it sounds like a chorus to me. So I'm like, can you rewrite the song and just move the choruses around? Can you change a few things? So she did that. And then we went through it again, and I just listened to it. And then I just picked up the chords later. So I wrote the chords off to the side while she was, you know, listening to the recording. And I'm like, I think I got this, you know. It's in B flat major, which sucks, but
for a guitar.
Yeah, for a capo, so it's not too bad for me. So we recorded it, and we just ran through it a few times, and then we just kind of kept finding the structure of the chords, and hit it, sent it off to one of my best friends, Dave Hudson, which I know you don't, Dave and Jacqueline.
Yeah.
So Dave's like, make her move it up to the key of C. I'm like, yeah, you're right. So we moved it to the key of C, and it came out that way. So this one we recorded with Craig Wasner.
There's his name.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Craig's famous in this town for sure.
That's right.
Just a beautiful man, beautiful family. So yeah, we went to the studio there, and she came in. I brought my current band in for this one, which are fantastic, awesome players too.
Yes.
And they backed her up, and every time she did something or they had questions, I was like, Ari, it's your song. What do you want to do?
Nice.
Like, you have to kind of learn to produce yourself. You know, I don't want to like tell you what to do in your song, you know? So she did a really good job of producing. Like, she went to the fiddle player, Casey Olson, who had played fiddle on this. And she's like, well, I like it when you do this thing.
Nice.
And he's like, oh, you mean the vibrato? She's like, yeah, that's it. It's, you know, more of that. So like, she's, you know, she's learning to like step up for herself and say what she wants to hear.
Right.
So,
and learning the jargon.
Yeah. Right,
also.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Casey Olson on fiddle, who else is playing on this tune before we take a listen?
Yep. So my bass player, Brian Lechinger. Okay. So he's from like the Chaska area. On drums is Jeff Mueller. And Jeff, you might recognize Jeff if you go out and see like Marty Anderson and the Goods, because Jeff plays drums with Marty quite a bit.
Okay.
And then I did the guitar, and Vanessa actually did the background vocals on this one.
Okay.
So,
I was wondering if that was just, did she overdubbed that or whatever your daughter Ari did. But
yeah, there's like three parts. So Vanessa did some harmony stuff on this for Ari. And it's funny because Vanessa said later that their voices are so similar, you know, except
right,
younger.
The blend.
Yeah.
No, with when blood is involved, often the blend is so great.
Yeah.
And what a great, I mean, I don't know the adjective, but better than great to have a recording of your daughter's song with her mother singing on it and her father playing on it. That is, what a gift.
Yeah.
That is just incredible. So let's take a listen to December. Written by my guest, or not by my guest, written by my guest's daughter.
Yeah, Ari Ross.
Ari Ross, that's right.
Cause you'll say, oh, no, I'm
This is Musician Talk, and I am your host, Pauline Jennings. My guest today is Mark Ross. You just heard a recent release of his called December, written by his daughter, Ari. I have to say that when I listen to these songs that musicians sent me, I'm working on an outline, I'm typing or doing something else, and this song stopped me. I couldn't continue, and I got chills and a little teary-eyed, and I am now because I get so emotional with music. You must be so proud.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. Wow. As a dad, yeah.
Wow. I mean, her singing is just wonderful. It's such a unique mix of with the voices and the way that the instruments are being intertwined and the voices being intertwined, not just with words, but with the O's and the O's and the really well crafted.
Yeah. She was really worried about it being a terrible song when she started it. She's like, and in the book I told you about with Jeff Tweedy, he says, you know, you got to write your failures to get your successes. So yep. He's like, I've written terrible songs too, but I've also written great songs. So right. it's learning to fail forward. So I'm always taught the kids
fail
that.
Forward. I like that. Yeah. I mean, you can't succeed until you fail. I mean, you have to fail first. Right. There's no way.
Right.
Yes, yeah. Really. Yeah. As being a human being, that's kind of the condition we're in. So Ari, if you're listening, you should be proud of this. Absolutely. So we're getting to the end here, and I want to get to best gig, worst gig. What do you got for us? We'll start with worst gig, so we start end on a high note, unless you don't have any.
I love every gig I play.
That's great.
Because I'm getting paid to play it. So I guess the worst gigs for me are, you know, doing acoustic shows for the bartenders when nobody else shows up.
Right.
So it's about local support, like having people be there, you know.
So you're fortunate because it's, you know, usually I guess almost all that I can think of, well, okay, there's maybe a couple that are based on performance, but they're terrible because something technical happens, right?
Yeah.
The electricity goes out. You're outside, it starts raining, and you're playing, and you're under an umbrella or whatever.
Yeah.
So
that's happened. We were playing Ernie's on Gull one summer, and there was a clasp of thunder, and then it poured for like a half hour, and I had my gear all set up on the stage. So I was out there with garbage bags covering everything with bags and stuff.
And you can't get everything covered.
No, and I had buffalo wings in my hand when the rain came down and like splashed all the buffalo sauce on my white t-shirt. It was just terrible. So I guess that would have been my worst quote-unquote gig.
But I knew I'd dig it out of you.
But I still got done eating and I threw them away and played the show. So it was good.
You know, and you love every gig. So there's probably a ton of best gigs that you have. But what's one gig that kind of shines out for you?
I guess I would say it's not so much the gig as it is the type of gig. So we were, again, thankful for all the friends around this community. And so Ray Couderay had us come in and play the One Hit Wonder show at the Armory here. And we just recently did the Bruce Springsteen tribute with Ray.
Oh, cool.
And I've hosted many singer-songwriter shows where I've brought in singer-songwriters and we just do original music. And anyway, I'm probably taking up too much time, but
that's all right.
The best shows for me are the listening room shows, when you get up on stage and people are quiet and listening to you play. I play a ton of shows at bars and restaurants where everyone's talking amongst themselves at tables, eating food, playing with their kids, whatever. And you're kind of background music. But when you go to the stages where you're on a theater stage and people are actually watching you, that's nothing tops that ever, you know.
100% concur.
Yeah,
it's tough sometimes when there's everybody's eating and talking, and then they're trying to talk over the band and all that. And then but you just pick out those couple of people out there that are actually, that you can see their eyes. It's like, okay, I'm going to sing to you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for those stories, and let's talk about what you got coming up here with gigs.
Yeah, so I am playing a duo. Vanessa and I will be doing the duo with 319 Unplugged, which is what we call it.
And what kind of music do you do? Some original stuff, and that is like modern country rock.
I get a lot of compliments. A lot of people compliment us because the variety. We do everything from, you know, classic rock like Fleetwood Mac and the Eagles to Pearl Jam to Bon Jovi to Eric Church and Keith Urban and pretty much all over the board, you know.
That's great.
And then take requests, you know.
And that's down at Froggy Bottoms on April 2nd.
Yeah, we're doing that show on April 2nd. I think mid-April, got a full band show, so that'll be Mark Ross and the 319. And that's going to be a great show. It's in Minneapolis.
April 16th.
Yep. And that's at Glick's. And that'll be a fun show. We're actually playing that show with Ray Coudray and Fred the Bear. So it'll be two bands that night down there. So it'll be a fun show.
Right, from Northfield. Yeah. So if you feel like traveling and getting out, Glick's on April 16th is a place you can go and actually maybe know the people on stage.
Yeah, we might have to get a bus and just pull people down with
that's
us.
That's a great idea.
I'll talk to Ray about that.
And then you're playing at the Chart House at the end of April.
Yeah, Chart House down in Lakeville, end of April.
All right.
And then throughout the summer, hopefully, like I said, hopefully back and forth between here and Nashville. But we do play a lot up at like Madden's Resort and the Whitefish Chain and up north, you know.
All right. So look for you if you're vacationing.
Yeah, if you're vacationing.
There.
Yeah. And go to our website, markrossandthe319.com.
That's exactly where I was going again. So let's slow down and say that. So where can we find out where you're playing and get your music?
Yep. So if you go to Mark Ross and the 319, you got to spell the whole thing out.
319, number 319.
No, you spell it out.
THR.
Yep.
Okay, got it.
Or just Google search. It's probably easier to Google search.
Right.
Or find me on Facebook or Instagram. Out there. So we post all the shows on the website. As far as music goes, it's all available on any online platform. So, iTunes, streams. Spotify.
Yeah. Okay.
And we've got two new ones that are in studio right now with Craig Wozner. And we're trying to finish those. We've had setbacks left and right, thanks to COVID again.
Yes, everything.
We hope to have those out, I'm hoping by April.
Well, this has been a terrific conversation. It's been very, very casual and chatty, and I love that about it. And it's been great getting to know you and having you share some of your musical journey with us and some of your new songs and your beautiful, wonderful daughter and her voice and her songwriting chops. It's really, really wonderful.
Thank you.
Very, very special. So thank you so much for hanging out with me today.
All right. Thanks, Pauline. Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Many, many thanks to Mark for joining me today and sharing his hot-off-the-press, new and inspired original songs with us. What a treat and an honor. And I'm always so grateful to you for listening to Musician Talk on the One, KYMN. Have a terrific rest of the day.